gonna do it. Not gonna do my broccoli. Are you gonna listen to George tonight? George is gonna be on the TV. George, the ultimate talking head, will be doing the State of the Union billed as the greatest speech since the Gettysburg Address, or at least since Jesse Jackson did the Democratic National Convention in 1968. Welcome to KSCO Presents. We have a public service announcement here somewhere. There's going to be a gentleman in our studios tomorrow you might want to listen to. He is Dr. Antonio Cabrera, member of the Political Diplomatic Commission of the FMLN and direct participant in the El Salvador peace negotiations in New York. And he'll be on at 8:35 on Good Morning Monterey Bay with John Sandich. But as I was saying, let's get back to me. I'm Harry Lee Curtis. The number here is 479-1080, and today we explore the homeless issue. Outside of welfare, there are few subjects that get the phones ringing like this one. So once again, the homeless, 479-1080. Now, you regular listeners will know that I usually present an extensive monologue on the subject of the day just to set the stage. Today, not so. Today, we just begin. Mr. Robert Norse is here with me in the KSCO studios, and he represents two organizations. One is called HUFF, HUFF, which is, of course, an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. He also works with SPAN, S-P-A-N, another acronym for Stop Police Abuse Now. And I would point out that there is an exclamation point after that phrase, just for emphasis. Mr. Norse refers to himself as, quote, a peace and justice advocate, and he has also taken up the Lance of La Mancha on behalf of the poor, of street people, which he delineates as being a separate entity from the homeless, and other disfavored groups, and that's a quote, disfavored groups. Mr. Norse, you have a full plate, and in your pass out to the station, you use the phrase I just quoted of disfavored groups. Why is it, do you think, that the homeless are indeed disfavored?
Well, Harry, the homeless, of course, are usually very poor. They are people who are vulnerable and exposed. Many of them have more problems than your average individual. And frequently, you have people who are representatives of a countercultural lifestyle, which authorities in some areas disfavor. So that's why I call them a disfavored group.
How do you feel they are being disfavored, and by whom?
Well, police authorities treat people who are trying to sleep at night outdoors, for instance, in Santa Cruz City, as criminals after 11 o'clock at night. Individual officers who run into homeless people on the mall in downtown Santa Cruz treat them, I would say, frequently with less respect than your average middle-class citizen. I would say the homeless are frequently targets both of merchant paranoia, and the police are simply often trying to do the job that they're told to do, but nonetheless, the homeless and street people get targeted.
Okay, so we have merchants and the police are disfavoring these people. You could say discriminating against them. Is that your point?
That's the point, yeah.
Are the police not just enforcing the laws?
It depends. In some cases, you would say they are, and that the laws themselves treat these people as disfavored groups.
Well, in your pass-out material, you claim there are two sets of laws, one for the homeless and one for what you call house dwellers, such as the law against displaying or vending on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you will allow me to, I would propose to you that the laws against this are for all people. that there are not two sets of laws, there is one law, and that this is one law for all the people. Not just the homeless, residents and transients alike have the obligation, I think, and I believe everybody in a civilized society would say, to obey the laws of the land. And I find it a bit disingenuous to suggest that I should be allowed to stand outside of a shoe store and undercut the rent-paying merchant's prices by selling shoes at a discount because I don't have that kind of overhead. Mm-hmm. So what about your compassion for the store owner who is trying to make a living and feed the family and pay taxes? I mean, this law is there because of fairness.
Well,
so how can you say it's unfair?
Well, Harry, Anatole France made a good comment on what you said, and I'm sure you've heard his quote, which is that the law in its majestic impartiality forbids both the rich and the poor to sleep under bridges and beg in the streets. I mean, it is true that there is one law. However, it impacts people of different incomes and in different situations quite differently.
Your statement here is that there are the issue number one, and according to what
the ban on displaying or vending on the street.
Well, it says there's one set of laws for house dwellers and another set of laws mm-hmm. for the homeless. Now, is this rhetoric, or are you prepared to say there is one law for all people?
I'm talking about the impact of the law on people. I'm talking about the impact on behavior, on the ability to live, on the ability to conduct life in the day-to-day. And what I was specifically referring to here were concerns that were reaching me about not merchants, we even call them, just artisans who are trying to display their wares informally on the sidewalk.
I happen to have a friend who has merchandise perennially
on
display.
You've got to let me talk sometime, Harry.
You're
cutting into me a little bit.
Sure, go ahead. You're reading. I was wondering if it was going to be a speech.
No. I'm using this paper
to
reassure
myself.
I'm very
sensitive to speeches. Go ahead.
No, not a speech. I was going to tell you that my concern here was with harassment of people who are not even trying to sell their wares, but who are simply trying to display them. I know two artists, a friend of mine, Jay Green, another man, Lowell, who are trying to display their artwork on the street. And police immediately approach them and tell them, and I think this is disgraceful, that they can't do that. In Berkeley, that's a different situation.
Yeah,
you have a scene where people can actually, vendors who don't have much money, who can't afford the rent space that you say is necessary for people who run businesses, have an opportunity to do that. Here in Santa Cruz, they don't.
I have a friend, you mentioned artisans, who does display his work at the Artisans Cooperative in Santa Cruz and has for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has to pay for the purpose or the privilege of displaying his wares a percentage to this establishment, which has to pay their rent, their utilities, their insurance, and their taxes.
Is he homeless?
No, he's not homeless. Mm-hmm. And he has to pay. And he is doing nothing more than displaying this merchandise. And I submit to you, sir, that the merchandise is for sale.
Mm.
And to badger the point, I don't want to badger the point, but when you play with words like this, you make me nervous.
I wouldn't want to do
that. If merchandise is displayed, can we not assume it is for sale? There is a law against this.
Well, those are the very laws that I feel have to be changed. I think we have large groups of people who are disfavored by those laws. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And would you then disfavor the commercial endeavors such as the Artisans Cooperative?
Well, I don't think they're going to be driven out of business here.
How would you feel talking to Mr. Lane about selling cheesecake outside of the Saturn Cafe?
Well, I don't think most of the people I'm concerned with would be in a position to engage in any major commercial operations. I think that we're talking about people who have very small enterprises, if at all, who make their own handicraft. And I just, I mean,
my friend makes jewelry in his mm-hmm. basement. He takes it down there in his old beat-up car, and he puts it in the artisan's co-op. Now, the guy that makes the same kind of junk is going to have the same kind of problems, except that he won't have to pay rent. I don't think that's fair, if you'll pardon my value judgment here.
I think your friend may have different values than you do on this issue. I don't think he would object to such a thing, particularly since he's been in the difficult circumstances, which don't have to be made additionally more hard by having the law on your back in these kinds of situations.
We're going to have to take a break, and I would invite my friend to call in. Al, are you out there? Not West Side Al. Al the jeweler. If you're out there, you've never called in, now would be the time. 479-1080. We're talking about the homeless situation with Robert Norse, a local advocate on behalf of the homeless. Call us.
Well, you should come to Carpet Mart. Your friends will think you're really smart, because you can buy great carpet there at prices way beyond compare. You should come to Carpet Mart, because we're really very nice. No wax vinyl, hardwood floors, and salesmen that you will adore. Come on down to see the Carpet Mart.
Carpet Mart, 1122 SoCal Avenue, Santa Cruz, the competition.
Ask the staff at Aptos Office Supply about the storage solutions that make good business sense and are good for the earth. At Aptos Office Supply, save 45 to 48% on storage boxes of all kinds. Aptos Office Supply is open 7 days a week, located at 74 Rancho Del Mar Center with convenient parking. Remember, we're as close as your phone. 688-4717. That's 688-4717.
30 seconds. Hey, it can be a long time if you're in a dentist chair, but not so much time to persuade you, to cajole you, to seduce you to listen to my program. Yeah, I'm here every single weekday evening from 4 to 7 in the afternoon. I'll keep you company when you're driving home. We talk about you and your life, your hopes, your ambitions, even spinning a dream or two along the way. If you got something on your mind, if you need a little help, maybe somebody who can see the trees, not where but the forest, I'm your guy. It's all here on Local News Talk Radio, KSCO.
Welcome back to You're on the Air. I'm Harry Lee Curtis, and today we're discussing the homeless issue with Robert Norse, who bills himself as a peace and justice advocate on behalf of the homeless. Mr. Norse, you claim that, and I put this in quotes because that's what you did in your pass out, that the, quote, progressives are in hiding on this issue, unquote, this issue being homeless rights. If the progressives are indeed in hiding on this issue, shouldn't you consider that perhaps you really have no, well, what could we say, substantial allies in this matter, and that perhaps you're a bit off base? It's my observation that the public in general is quite a ways away from your personal position.
Well, I find the opposite, Harry. I think that most people, when they hear that Santa Cruz has a law which prohibits all sleep after 11 o'clock at night and turning an entire class of people into criminals at that time, if you happen to be outdoors, they're outraged at this. They think this is a ridiculous law. It's not only, it lacks any kind of moral justification, it's financially inequitable and stupid. It puts a burden on the police, puts a burden on the people. And you would ask me, well, why if this is unpopular, why doesn't the city council change it? Let's say that would be your question. I feel the city council reacts to the opinions, not of a majority of the citizens, but often to pressure groups and to those it fears. And in this case, the so-called progressives on city council, although they have made some small moves to acknowledge homeless rights under great pressure from activists like myself and homeless people, are afraid to press the issue. I don't think that they would find that, as you suggest, a majority of the people oppose them. Again, what we're not looking for handouts here. We're looking for basic justice. And there's a considerable difference between giving something away in these hard times, which I think is a private decision.
Well, we have law and we have justice, and the law is fairly obvious. It's fairly clear. Justice is a lot more difficult to define.
That's what we're looking for, is justice.
Well, if you can define it and everybody will go along with you, so will I. But I don't think that we can agree on justice here in this studio and probably not out in the world there. We have a fellow coming on the morning show who's going to have something to say about justice in El Salvador. On line four, we have West Side Al. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Al.
Hey, Harry, Robert.
How you doing, Al?
I'm doing fine. Glad to hear you on the air today.
Good to hear you again.
I have a suggestion that I've said to you before, but I want to repeat it for the benefit of any listeners that didn't happen to be tuned in at the time. And I think one of the reasons that you don't get the opportunity to make much progress with your attempts to repeal different laws or to follow any of your suggestions is that there has, as of the last several years, become two sets of homeless advocates in this town, and one is politically correct, and that is to say the Safe Place to Sleep Coalition with, what's her name?
I can't. Sherry Connable.
Yeah, Ms. Connable, and yeah. The other is you, and you're not politically correct because I'll tell you why, Robert. You want to get some laws repealed. I don't agree with your position on that because I think sleeping outdoors, although it may be a nice choice for some people, it immediately suggests that people are going to have to worry about folks waking up in the middle of the night and prowling around doing burglaries, which is, outside of drug sales, one of the main support mechanisms for homeless folks. So I don't think you're going to make...
I can't agree with you there, Al, but go ahead.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I can't agree with you there, but go ahead.
Well, you know, you'd have to tell me where the money comes from for these folks to lay about all the time, but nonetheless, continuing on with why your solutions or what you see as solutions are not going to be implemented has more to do with the fact that your opposition, now the politically correct homeless advocacy, has in mind a great government bureaucracy with lots of their friends administering and pontificating and passing on the goodies to the people that you want to help. You see the difference there?
Well, yeah, there's always that problem, Al, because, you know, you find when people get involved in bureaucratic positions, and I wouldn't say they're huge and intricate bureaucracies, but, you know, there are bureaucracies, a River Street Shelter, and there's a free meal, and perhaps compared to other bureaucracies, they're much smaller. These people get conservative, and they get concerned about protecting their turf, and in a way, that's quite natural. You can't really fault them for that if you're looking at their situation, but it does put me in an adversarial position.
It becomes their job, their self-preservation of their own job functions versus your attempts to do what you feel is morally right.
I appreciate you saying that. I don't want to slander come down too heavily and say that they are simply trying to protect their jobs. Harry has a much different view of the homeless than I do and of justice.
I don't think you know my position on the homeless.
I suspect Harry has a much different position than I do. And
your assumption is partially correct and partially incorrect.
But that probably doesn't mean that he's a man without a conscience, even though I would severely disagree with him or simply protecting his job as a radio interviewer. I wouldn't accuse him of that.
Well, I know Harry is a man with a conscience, and I know he's also a very tough questioner, and you must keep in mind that part of Harry's function is to be provocative and evocative for his listeners.
Me too.
So if he busts your chops, that's probably partly responsible. But nonetheless, I do maintain that in this town we have a political structure which gloms on to everything with any inherent altruistic value, such as helping the homeless, and they use that as a political vehicle to drive themselves and their friends into ever more bureaucratic jobs.
But I think that I have to say there is a tendency for them to dilute the issues that I am really concerned about and to blackball those of us who are very militant on those issues. There's no question about that.
So let me ask you a question, Robert. How do you, where do you see your base of support lying if you can't count on the progressives, whom many people say are fairly radical, and they should call themselves the radical left and not progressives, and you can't count on the radical right, which obviously you cannot, and the people in between. Is that who you're aiming towards?
I
don't see any groundswell of support for your position.
Right. Well, again, I'm not running for office, you understand. I'm simply trying to lay an issue in front of the public, and several issues, in fact. And I think that there is a significant proportion of people in town who believe that you shouldn't arrest someone for asking for spare change, that people who look different shouldn't be harassed by the police because they look different or because they're out at night and have to sleep somewhere and have no legal place to sleep, which I keep going back to because I think it is an important issue.
Al, how do you read the tenor of the people out there?
Well, we could go on forever about that, Harry. I don't think there is a whole lot of support, especially after all these months and months and months of recession. People are starting to be a lot more selfish. But I would pose this one question, which maybe we'll shed some light on the dynamics of the Santa Cruz problem, and that is, given that most of the money and most of the people that have money to spend seem not to be doing it in downtown Santa Cruz anymore for a variety of reasons. The politicians will tell you it's the earthquake, the freeze, the recession. The right wing that isn't in will tell you it's because of the homeless or whatever. But basically, if the money is going out to Capitola and the people who have the bucks in their wallets are going out there, how come we never see anybody out there panhandling and sitting down and playing guitars and trying to get money. It seems they all seem to want to come to Santa Cruz and then say they're looking for work. Well, there's no work here, first of all, and it seems like it's getting to be a worse and worse place to panhandle.
Well, actually, you may well be right, Al, although 2-3 days ago when I went to the movies out of the 41st Avenue Mall, I ran across a couple with a sign, we'll work for food. And when I was downtown a week and a half ago at the farmer's market, I saw another person with another sign. It was a woman who said, need money for gas. And she was immediately not arrested by an officer, but warned by a Santa Cruz police officer that she couldn't do that. This was right outside the farmer's market on the mall.
Well, so maybe the testing
Campagnolo got more, was more, I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe the testing or the proving grounds is going to be shifted out towards 41st Avenue. That might be an interesting...
Well, the recession is hitting all of us. You know, a lot of people just don't have anything. They need work, they need money, they need food. I mean, well, you know the situation.
I understand John Sandage saw a sign the other day. John is the host on the morning show. I believe it was him who said he saw a sign that said, we'll work for beer.
Yeah, that's an honest approach, isn't it?
Yeah, really thanks. Straightforward. Anyway, we'll see you guys.
Thanks very
right,
much,
thanks,
sir. I appreciate it. On line 5, we have Vernon. Hi, Vernon. Welcome to the show.
Robert, my old
friend.
Hey,
Vern, how you doing?
What I really want to acknowledge you for, and I really respect you for, is you give absolute credence to the quote-unquote falsehood is never so effective as when she baits her hook with truth.
Now,
Robert. First of all, you and I have had a lot of conversations,
mm-hmm.
and this is not a large group of people that are affected by these laws, as you said earlier. That's number one.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, give me a number. How many are there, and tell me where you get that figure.
Well, I think it affects... the number of homeless people in Santa Cruz County was estimated by Health and Human Services in 1988, remember the figure I gave you about a year and a half ago, as being between 3,000 and 5,000 people.
That's totally inaccurate.
Well,
1,895 people.
That's Health and Human Services. I mean, they could be wrong. They could be, you know, feathering their nest, I agree. And it could well be high, although that was in 88. Now you got to, you know, extrapolate to 92. I'm not saying, now that's one group of people, but you also consider... their friends. And you
Short-term Housing Coalition also did a study.
I'm sorry. So, yeah,
Short-term Housing Coalition?
Yes, back in 1990 in the spring.
1988-89, right after the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to assess the effects of the earthquake on displacing people.
Mm-hmm.
They came
Vern,
up.
Hold that thought, my friend. I'm going to carry you through the break.
Okay, I'm outside Orchard on payphones. I might have to put another quarter in.
Okay, thanks
right,
very much.
See you in a bit.